How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Well, the prophet Daniel tells about three men who walk with God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before the wicked king they stood. Now the king.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about those three men named in Holy Scripture, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who, contrary to the king's command, withstood his threats and then suffered the punishment. I think it was intended to be a death sentence, suffered the punishment for their faithfulness to the one true God, but, well, didn't suffer that punishment. They were spared by God, although the king meant something different. And in the end, this king, who at one moment is commanding them to bow down and worship, well, by the end of the story, is giving praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is he converted by what he sees there in the fiery furnace? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the three men in the fiery furnace. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tom, at the beginning of this, we have Nebuchadnezzar being a typical Middle Eastern potentate, and at the end, he is giving some kind of praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do we watch him being converted in this famous story?
That's a good question. Once more, theology is the art of making distinctions, and the distinction I would think about right now is the distinction between natural knowledge of God and revealed knowledge of God. Natural knowledge of God certainly can lead to the conclusion there is a God, he is great, and he is mighty. And when you take a look at Nebuchadnezzar praising God after what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says the following. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Now, that seems to me to be natural knowledge that he saw because the men were not burned to death, but it doesn't get any details about the true God, particularly in light of the fact that he died for our sins, etc. However, if you go to chapter 4, and Nebuchadnezzar is again speaking, and he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor, the King of heaven, for his works are right, his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. He certainly has an understanding of how God uses the law to humble us. So, on the basis of that information, we know that Adam and Eve didn't even know that Jesus was going to die on the cross. All they believed is that his ways were such that they were going to be saved. And so, if that's where Nebuchadnezzar is at, especially in light of chapter 4, verse 36 and following, then I would say he probably was converted. But at first reading, what he has to say about praising God is something that natural man can figure out just by looking at the heavens and the universe. And there are many false religions that recognize there is a God from the creation, but they don't know the details to the point where they are saved. So I leave it up to God as to whether what Nebuchadnezzar confessed was salvific or not.
The test here of everyone, which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to submit to, is one of idolatry. The king wants their fidelity, but he wants their fidelity by way of worshiping an image. Talk about that part of the story.
Yes. There were two areas in which the Hebrews had trouble in this particular nation. The one was what they were permitted to eat. And so they ended up eating what they felt was kosher food, and they actually got stronger and looked better than people who did not eat kosher food. But the second thing was idolatry. And in chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. In other words, from our point of view, it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet in diameter, and was of the Babylonian god Bel, B-E-L. And then he made a rule that all needed to fall down and worship him, and if they did not worship this idol, they would be cast in a burning, fiery furnace. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do that. But by the way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their original names. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, which means God has favored, Mishael, who is what God is, and Azariah, Yahweh has helped. But one of the officials, a Chaldean official, changed their names to Shadrach, which means command of the moon god, Meshach, guest of a king, and Abednego, servant of the god Nergal. But they originally were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They refuse to worship this idol. And therefore, of course, when the word came to the king, guess what? They were then going to be thrown into the fiery furnace.
So with about a minute here before the break, they have a very clear choice to make, obviously. It is worship this false god, and it wouldn't have required any sincerity of the heart. They just had to fall down and assume the posture of worship, and they would have gone completely unnoticed or die. That's their choice. Why would you, in terms of Sunday school kids can understand, why would you say these men who could have faked it didn't fake it and refused to obey the king's edict?
Because by faking it, they would be also worshiping an idol in the eyes of others, and their mission, that is, their witness, would have definitely been tarnished and torn apart. And anytime they would say we should worship only the true God, people would remind them of the time that they worshiped this idol. So to be consistent in the faith, they had to refuse to worship an idol that obviously was not God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on the three men in the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. We'll talk about what happens when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown in. Stay tuned.
Who was it, everybody? It was Jesus. Who was it, everybody? It was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you have a middle school-aged child or grandchild in the St. Louis Metro East, encourage them to attend an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, November the 5th at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. You can meet faculty, staff, administration, students, and parents. Learn more by calling 618-656-0043 or visit melhs.org. Open house, 1 to 3 Sunday afternoon, November the 5th, at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the three men in the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale begins tomorrow, November 2nd, and runs through Monday, November 6th. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, Etc. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale, cph.org, or 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 2nd through the 6th. Tom, talk about these men who, well, they are willing to suffer the punishment, but they are spared the punishment by God Himself.
Yes. When Nebuchadnezzar tells them, if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? This is chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer in verse 16 and 17. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. Now, some people stop there thinking that they know they're not going to be burnt, but they continue. But if not, be it known to you, O God, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Where did they get this idea that God could deliver them from a burning fiery furnace? Well, by this time, Isaiah had been written, and also the Psalms. Listen to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. That's probably referring to the Red Sea and the Jordan. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. That's Isaiah 43, verse 2. And Psalm 91 says that God will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were telling Nebuchadnezzar, it's possible that we will not be burned. God is able to deliver us. But if we are burned, we're still delivered, because then we will be with God like Elijah was, in the sense of having, in our spirit at least, come to God and all the other believers. So this is the faith they had. And I think the most important thing that a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, could end up falling into is to talk about the great faithfulness of these three men. And I think that is a mistake, because their confidence and unwavering faithfulness is really due to the faithfulness and promise of God Himself. Had God not made these promises, like in Psalm 146, verse 7, The Lord sets the prisoners free. Without these promises, they could have had no assurance that God would take care of them. So whether they were not burned or whether they were burned, they had no fear because they had the promises of a gracious and loving God.
With only about 30 seconds here, that fourth man in the fiery furnace, who should we say that man is? About 30 seconds.
Although some scholars will say it could either be Jesus Christ, as often referred to as the angel of the Lord, or it could be another angel. I personally believe it was none other than Jesus himself. In fact, when you take a look at what Nebuchadnezzar says, he himself makes known that this is like a son of God, which can mean an angel, but it also can mean, beyond his knowledge, the true son of God, Jesus.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Lord's Prayer, talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the petition, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. And we'll have Professor Steve Parks respond to a Roman Catholic proof text on apostolic succession, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.